I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Ever had to prepare a friend to meet your mom?
If I let it sit, I think it gets more laughter as it goes. Like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm kind of remembering.
Not that she was especially bad or especially weird, but just enough to warrant kind of a ramping up to meet her. Or your dad, but this isn't Father's Day, so you guys are off the hook. But better yet, anyone ever have to ramp up someone to meet you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you know? Yeah, I guess if you're that far over the line, you know. The point is, believe it or not, and I'm going to show you by scripture, Moses had to prepare his people to meet his parents. It's a great story. So when he begins talking about the Exodus out of Egypt in his testimony called the Book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 1, he writes, "These are the names." That's the opening line. These are the names. He then, after recording 16 names immediately, including two midwives whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, who probably helped deliver him, he then goes on to introduce us to his two parents without any names whatsoever, writing in chapter 2, verse 1, where they're introduced, that a man of the house of Levi married a, remember now, he starts with these are the names, so this kind of stands out. A man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she, and you ever wonder about that, saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. He then goes on to refer to his nameless mom only as she and her and a woman and the baby's mother. Is that odd? In fact, it is not until chapter 6 that Moses records his mother's name and spills the beans on the skeleton in his mom's very messed up closet. Moses is the lawgiver of Israel, right? That's his thing. I mean, my goodness, scripture even refers to God's laws as the law of Moses. That's Moses, the lawgiver. And those Mosaic laws included this little gem, this unsettling and seemingly common sense command, you shall not, well, have intercourse with your father's sister. Happy Mother's Day. This is our verse for the day. A line you don't often see in the verse of a day calendar or hear preached on, but as is your verse today, for heaven's sake, she's your aunt. And it sounds even worse when you say it the other way, that you shouldn't, you know, do that with your brother's son. Gross. But sometimes your aunt turns out to also be your mom. You know, like when Amram, chapter 6 here, Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as his wife. Oopsie. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. At which point, you have to understand, Moses is writing this for all Israel to read. And this is the point at which 6 chapters in, his readers would have been like, no way. No way, that can't be the same Aaron and Moses of the Exodus. These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Okay. But maybe that Aaron and Moses aren't the same ones who went and, you know, God called to speak to Pharaoh. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. I can't be the same Moses and Aaron. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Do you get the picture? How unbelievable this was. Chapter 6, Chapter 6. God chose a startlingly disgraceful lawbreaker for the mother of his chosen lawgiver. Isn't that just like our gracious Father? Granted, Amram had intercourse with his father's sister before the law was codified, but not before it was obviously embarrassingly wrong. I mean, Moses fled for murdering long before that was in writing, but there were some things you just knew. And the reason Moses has to ramp up his readers and then reassure them strongly three times that it's true is that the mercy and grace of the one true God is truly startling, is almost unbelievable. So what's Moses do? Well, he spends five chapters establishing God's character and what these two people did, the heroic faith of these two people, and then reveals his family's secret and then anticipates all the whispers. You know, no, not that Aaron and Moses. Yes, that Moses and Aaron. Well, that's certainly not the picture of faith, is it? No, it absolutely isn't. It's just the context. It's the backdrop. These poor people, how'd they know their past? They're going to be put on display for all to see for all time. And true, it might have been a bit awkward at the time, but it now forever serves to stress the Lord's point. What he can and will accomplish through anyone at any time with any background or context, if and when they put their faith in him above their fear of others. And not only that, but how he will then redeem that very sin and use it to encourage and inspire and empower the faith of those around them. This is a big part of Moses' story. You see, in Hebrews, it says, by faith, this is about his parents now, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his, well, unlawfully wed parents, who had hatched this crazy plan to present him to Pharaoh's daughter, because they saw he was, well, a fine child, a beautiful child. You go, oh, everyone thinks a baby's beautiful. What's going on? If he wasn't beautiful, what? You gotta read it into the context of the story. They were so relieved to see that he was absolutely free of any genetic consequences. And so when they saw he was a fine child, they hatched the plan. And they were not afraid of the king's command. That doesn't mean they weren't afraid of the king's command. It means they were willing to sacrifice their own lives for their faith. Because they feared God, they respected God, they loved God more than they feared the king's command. And because of that, then we're told in Hebrews, by faith Moses now, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Most prestigious title, right? Choosing rather, well, now we know, to be called the son of the messed up mom chosen by God. And to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, because he's esteeming this is Moses, Old Testament Moses. This is why, because he was esteeming the reproach of Christ. You go, wait, Christ is in the story? Yeah. Haven't you read where Moses met him in the burning bush? You see, he esteemed all of that as the reproach of Christ, as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because, see, he looked to the reward. And by faith, thanks in large part to the fearless faith of his mother slash aunt, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The faith was transferred in spite of the sin. And you know where all this fearless faith began? Back in chapter 1, with those two midwives, who are not only the first women memorialized by name in the book of Exodus, they're the first two Israelites, period, whose faith in God is stronger than their fear of Pharaoh. Good old Shiphrah and Puah. Funny how we pick and choose which names we're going to... Yeah, we love these biblical names for our daughters. Maybe not Shiphrah and Puah. Here's the story. When a new king came to power in Egypt, look, he said to his people, the Israelites, look, they become much too numerous for us. Come, come, we must deal shrewdly with them. Or if war breaks out, they're going to join our enemies. So you see, the Egyptians then came to dread the Israelites. And the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth, if it's a boy, you kill him, okay? Because we see in another spot, he tells them to throw him in the water. But if it's a girl, you let her live. The midwives, however, feared God over Pharaoh and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. See, then their faith rubs off, and that faith rubs off. Then the king asked them, why have you done this? And the midwives answered Pharaoh deceitfully. They just lied to him. You need to see that. They lie to him. Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous. They are vigorous mothers. They give birth before the midwives arrive. Those babies are just flying out, and they're back to washing. There's a picture. And then we're told, and so, because of this deceit, because of their lie, God was kind to the midwives. You won't hear this message much in church, but you need to hear it because it's in the Bible in a lot of places, because they had to deceive the king to remain true to the Lord. Have you ever noticed New Testament, 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers, you know, like in tribulations and distresses by sincere love, by the word of truth, as deceivers, and yet true. As deceivers and yet true. Yeah, true to the King of Kings and the law above laws. You see, Shiphrah and Puah took a life and death stand to save those little boys from Pharaoh's genocide. And their righteous, courageous deception was worthy of commendation. Because God honors godly people who defy ungodly authorities. Because when the Lord commands us to submit to our governing authorities, which we are commanded to do, obviously we are not to obey when they command what he forbids, or when they forbid what he commands. Because everyone will ultimately stand before the highest authority to give an account, right? For all their actions. And in that moment, I think it'll be crystal clear that a moral obligation far outweighs a legal violation. Like a simple example, like breaking the speed limit to rush someone to the hospital. You might get a ticket if you get pulled over. Okay, give me the ticket. Right? Moral obligation far outweighs the legal violation. You know, like when Jesus was healing everyone on the Sabbath, breaking that rule. But I'll tell you, there is no better example of a higher moral authority than you moms. You are it. You are our living example of the moral higher authority in this world. You know, we've all enjoyed like a movie moment where an irate mom storms into a high school classroom. She don't care. She just goes in, interrupts the teacher, pulls her son out by his ear. Yeah, because she's mom. She's mama bear. Well, we need to see the Lord more like that. Do you know he compares himself to a mother bear in Hosea? We need to see the Lord more like our mama bear, which means we must establish a hierarchy of values according to his will by his word. It's where we learn them. Because lesser authorities are far from perfect, so we can't just blindly bow and obey everything for fear of punishment. But we need a healthy conscience to bow to God's authority first and foremost. And that comes from knowing his word. One of my earliest, speaking of this higher moral authority, and if you need more proof, I think we already agree, but it's a good story to just put an exclamation point on the fact that you moms are our living example of the highest moral authorities. One of my earliest manipulative memories is when I was probably just a little older than that. One of my earliest memories, and man, it is just seared in. And it was one night when my frustrated pops told me to get in bed in 5 seconds if I didn't want a blistering. That's so. I knew it was hyperbole because that's how he talked. But sneaky little demon that I was. I jumped in bed with all my clothes on and waited for mom to kiss me goodnight. And when she did, I let the covers slip just enough so she show my shirt. And then she says, why do you have your shirt on? And I said, and right on cue, I said, I have to sleep in my clothes. At which point she pulled back the covers and saw I was even wearing my shoes. Why? She asked. Daddy, I knew this was not true. Daddy said I'd get a blistering if I wasn't in bed in 5 seconds. And now I just want to explain, if there's any doubt, why we celebrate our moms on Mother's Day. Because to this day, I can still feel the glorious rush that swept over me as mom charged out of my room shouting, Larry! I talked to Pops after service. I said, you like the story? I said, do you even remember? And he goes, that and 100 others. He said, you're right when you said you were a little demon. He said, oh my gosh, there were so many times she would come out of your room saying, Larry! The point of Moses' parents is that God will use the most messed up past the moment he becomes the highest moral authority. Which simply means that we love others above all things. Which then fulfills what Scripture calls the royal law. We'll get to that in a minute. Which I'll tell you, nobody understands the royal law better than you moms. It's the royal law of love. Looks past the sin of the children. Sees the kids. And men are called to this type of love. Everyone's called to this type of love. Peter and John defied pretty much every authority for the sake of that royal law of love back when the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, who was retired, and Caiaphas, the currently acting high priest, called Peter and John, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to all the powers that existed in that day, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. You know, throw us in prison, do what you must. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. But then the other guys, they raised their voice praying, Lord, look on their threats. And grant to your servants, notice they don't say, save us. Look what they pray. Grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak. And it's like, now that they've seen our example of faith, that they may speak where I'm at, your word. And boy, that was quite a prayer because the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and the apostles spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, then the high priest rose up and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord, and I like to think maybe it's the one from the burning bush, opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And so they did. So then the captain went with the officers and again, set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, when they had beaten them, Because sometimes love literally hurts. Because like it or not, Jesus doesn't always, maybe even usually, rescue us from the consequences that come from making him our number one highest authority. So after they beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. But have you met these guys? Daily, in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. But we better be careful if and when we go above the law. Because the only time we can righteously justify deferring to God's higher authority and defying lesser authorities is when we know in our heart that it is an act of greater love for others according to God's will by his word. For whoever loves others above the law has fulfilled the law. Remember how Jesus said he came to fulfill the law? You fulfill it with love. You see, the commandments are summed up in this one command, which you know, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to a neighbor. And that's what the laws were all about. Keep us from hurting each other. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the royal law. So be very careful to keep the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Did you know this was Moses' law? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands above all, and to serve him with all your heart. And like Moses' mom, just do what you can and trust the Lord with what you can't. I think, especially in our culture, every parent needs to hear this. You just do what you can. Trust the Lord with what you can. Good advice for anyone fearing our culture that is threatening to drown our children in confusion and chaos and lust and violence and self-importance and materialism and on and on and on. Here's what you do. Just love like a mother bear. Just love like a mother bear. That, by the way, right there, do you know what you're looking at? You would never guess to look at it. That is a baby-sized Egyptian basket that is 3,500 years old, taken out of a tomb. That basket was being used exactly when Moses was young. That's the basket. No, that's a joke. I am not saying that's the basket, but that you're looking at a 3,500-year-old baby-sized Egyptian basket from exactly the time of Moses, and that ain't nothing but cool. And since we now know Moses' mom, let's read her story with her name. You see, when Jochebed could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him. See, you got to understand, other than Noah's ark, it's the only time in the Bible that word's used. She's like replaying the Noah story. She took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Technically fulfilling the king's command, by the way. And his sister stood afar off. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it and saw the child, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Right on cue, Moses. So she had compassion on him and said, oh, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse? And she went, hey, where'd you come from? She's hiding in the reeds. She says, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, yes. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse him for me. And I will give you your wages. That's my favorite part of the story. And I will give you your wages. So Jochebed took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and Jochebed brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So get this. Moses' mother found a way to not only save her son, but to continue caring for him without fear of consequences and to get paid in the process. Not to mention securing the most prestigious education in the world, and all while technically obeying the king's command to put him in the water. So what if his mother was his father's aunt, making Moses' siblings also his cousins? It all just goes to show that you can be a royal basket case and still fulfill the royal law. Read that with me, please. You can be a royal basket case and still fulfill the royal law, because our Creator's love truly conquers all. For if you really keep the royal law found in Moses' law in Scripture, Leviticus 19:18, which says, did you know this was Moses? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, then you're doing something right. The message of Moses' scandalous family brings hope to us all, because what was done in the past does not limit the Lord what he can do in the future. Because God is a God of new beginnings, amen? No matter what has happened, what has taken place, if you've been the victim or the perpetrator, God will not only deliver you, but transform you and use you to deliver others if you'll allow it. And all you gotta do is love like a mother. Because I'm here to tell you your story, and everyone has one, your story wasn't written yesterday. That is just the context. That is the backdrop. No, your story is being written today and tomorrow, and in spite of it. You might have come from a totally messed up, dysfunctional family background, but that does not preclude or prevent you from putting everything right now and fulfilling not only the royal law, but your created purpose. And if you have any doubt, well, then you just ask Moses about the skeletons in his closet. And let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and bow to you as our highest authority. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to put our faith in you above our fear of others. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for fulfilling completely the law with your love. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.